Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll conclude Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. What a great time in the Scripture and in His teachings. And what, I mean, I don't know about you, I've been challenged all the way through it, and certainly in my thinking and my daily walk and in my own faith. And I titled the message this morning, Don't Be Deceived. We talked about it last week. We know that the Scriptures tell us that don't be deceived. God is not mocked. When a man sows, that he shall also reap. And I'm just throwing words in there, but you know, what you sow, you're going to reap is the warning. And then we looked at last week, the warning was what? People are going to deceive, are self-deceived. There's going to be a lot of people that in that day of judgment are going to stand before the Lord and find out that they didn't have a genuine faith, that their profession didn't match their walk or their life. And it's going to be a sad day. And so why don't we stand and we'll read verses 24 through the end this morning together. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who has built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that, Lord, our minds would be settled, our hearts would be open, Lord, to hear your word, these sayings of yours. We know that you were in the beginning, the word of God, speaking all these things into existence, our very lives, Lord. And so I pray that we would be attentive this morning, that we would be sensitive to your spirit. Father, send your spirit, move and minister in a mighty way this morning. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. And Lord, I pray, and not only do I pray, but I hold on to the promise, our blessed are those who hear, blessed are those who read, and blessed are those who do these things that you have revealed to us. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Please be seated. Therefore, this is the concluding therefore, and it is therefore a final exhortation, really, of what it truly means to have faith. I'm encapsulating at the end of this, and we know we've talked about this, that Jesus has invited and gone up on the mountain, right? And he's invited those, his disciples, those who are following him, to follow him up the mountain. And so he's invited each and every one of us up the mountain to hear this teaching on really, ultimately, faith, encapsulated in faith. Faith is not subjective. It is not relative. It is relational. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, clearly defines the kingdom of God and how citizens of God's kingdom are to live. We've talked about it. Kingdom character. How they are governed by God's laws, his truth, citizens of God's kingdom. We're to obey his word. You have heard it said of old, is what he had constantly said, referring back to the Old Testament law. You have heard it said of old, you shall not murder. Or, you know, and you have heard it said of old, you shall not divorce your wife, and these things. And so he was referring to the law, but he was breathing life into those, into the law, where the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, had basically choked the law. And you know, and held people under the letter of the law. Jesus reveals these are more than words to be understood and recited. They are to be lived out. They are transformative words. The scribes and Pharisees knew the scriptures. They lived by the letter of the law, yet they missed the mark. And Jesus will address them constantly how they had missed the mark. The law is meant to lead us to God, to know His heart, and to know Him. It screams, you need help. Jesus wants the hearer to know that He is the help that you need. He's the one sent by the Father to fulfill what the law could not do, reconcile man to his Creator. You may think you're a good person, that you do more good than bad, that you have good intentions. Yet God says if you fail by breaking His law once, that you have failed the entirety of the law. The last couple of weeks we've been looking at the conclusion of this Sermon on the Mount as Jesus teaches or takes His teachings and makes it real for the hearer. And it all boils down to what you will do with the truth Jesus reveals about God's Word, about godly character, about what you believe. Really, it's about faith and how you define faith. You see, faith is not religion. It is not a system of beliefs. Satan wants you to believe that you just need to believe in a God, adhere to rituals and traditions of a belief system, identify with a religion, and that somehow you can that accounts for faith. There are many who claim to be a person of faith. We hear about the many faiths or diversities of faith. That is subjective faith, and it's really not faith at all. It's a belief in something, but it's not what Jesus is calling the hearer to. The religious Jew thought that attempting to keep the law was an evidence of faith. They missed the purpose of the law in the Scriptures. Their examples were not of men and women who were keepers of the law. Listen, the Old Testament reveals what faith was about. It said Abraham believed God. That's faith. Isaac was devoted to God. Jacob was transformed by God. He was a conniver, a heel catcher. Yet God got a hold of his heart and it got a hold of his life and changed his name to Israel, governed by God. Moses was a friend of God, said that God spoke to Moses face to face. David was a man after God's own heart. He loved the laws of God because he discovered the heart of God within his laws and his precepts. Read Psalm 119. Over and over and over again, David talks about the law of God and how wonderful and how beautiful it is. But it is expressed in many of David's Psalms. David talks about the law of God and how much he loved it. Psalm 119:81, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. In Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And Hebrews tells us that the hall of faith is a group of men and women whose faith was accounted to them as righteousness. Why? Because their faith was an objective faith. It wasn't placed in what they believed or how they believed. It was because of who they believed in. They knew God and they were known by God. And so verse 24, as we pick up, it said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And what is the therefore, therefore? Well, Jesus had just given the exhortation of not deceiving oneself. The reality is that all are going to stand before God in judgment. And some are going to be surprised that their good was not good enough. Verses 13 through 14 said, do not be, we talked about, don't be deceived like others. There's one way to God. There is one way to God, Jesus is saying, the narrow gate. He said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life itself, listen, life itself depends on if you believe Jesus. All other belief systems are the wide gate, a wide path. But genuine faith is entered by the narrow gate, and it is defined by remaining on that narrow path, regardless of the challenges and the difficulties. Many will take the easy way of non-commitment. These are the culture creatures that we see today, influenced by what culture thinks is virtuous instead of what God says is right and wrong. They're going to go with the flow. Verses 15 through 20 says, don't be deceived. We talked about don't be deceived by others. So don't be deceived like others. Don't be deceived by others. Apply what you believe. Be discerning of what others say about faith and God's truth. They may even sound good. It says, Jesus said they'll look like sheep. But Jesus, remember, indicted the scribes and the Pharisees and called them whitewashed tombs. The outside, he said, looks really beautiful. But inwardly, they were full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. They were unregenerate. They know all the right things to say and do, but they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of the Word of God. They are exposed by self-gain, and you read Paul and Peter and most of the New Testament writers warn of ravenous wolves, false prophets, false teachers. They're exposed by a desire for self-gain or self-promotion, saying what people want to hear, looking for man's approval and not God's. And then we looked last week at verses 21 through 23, and I said, don't deceive yourself. So don't be deceived like others, don't be deceived by others, and don't deceive yourself concerning the truth of God's of the Word of God and what Jesus is saying. And he's concluding this, and we understand that the therefore is there for what? To take us back and recognize deception and what truly constitutes faith. We have certain warnings in our culture when it comes to sickness and health. We're encouraged, what? To not diagnose ourselves. That's foolish, isn't it? Go see a physician, somebody who has studied diseases and sicknesses and illnesses. When it comes to legal issues, get a lawyer. Don't defend yourself. Rely on somebody who studied the law. But when it comes to faith, the Bible encourages you, what? To examine yourself. Because when it comes to yourself, nobody knows you better than you do. The thing is, in self-examination, are you going to be honest with yourself? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Remembering this, God already knows. Nobody knows the spirit of the, nobody knows the heart of man but the Spirit. And so it's about examining oneself and being honest where you're at. Have you truly put your faith in Jesus? Now Jesus gives his last exhortation to apply these truths. We know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus says, now act upon the truth. It is the instruction for kingdom living. You've heard it, now are you willing to live it? Jesus presents two builders of two houses. On the surface, everything looks similar. Both set out to build a house. There's no outward distinction made of the homes or the builders themselves. The buildings are, you know, pretty much look the same in that culture during that time. Many of the homes made of the same material and the same design. A lot of the homes are just added on to the home next to them. The building's outward appearance is likened to hearers of Jesus' teaching. At first glance, these two builders had similar knowledge of how to build a home. Jesus reveals that although they appeared the same, the two builders took different courses of action on laying the foundation for their homes. One was very wise and built upon rock. The other was not wise and built on the sand. Both had knowledge of how to build a house, but only one took care to make sure the foundation was solid. One just wanted a roof over his head to feel safe, when the wise man wanted a home that would last and withstand the worst storms of life. And Jesus implies both builders knew the need for a secure foundation, that it would take more effort, more preparation, it would take more time. But Luke even says that the wise man dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Both homes were exposed to the same conditions, rain, floods, and winds, but only one withstood the storms. The one whose builder applied all of the knowledge of building a house. Everybody knows that the most important part of building a home starts with a sound foundation. Jesus likens the wise person to not only hearing his words, but then doing them. It is the evidence of faith, not just hearing. Faith comes by hearing, that is clear. Faith is evident, though, in the doing. Last week we talked about fruit, that, and reiterated that works are our effort to impress God. And there's confusion when we read the book of James, and everybody says, well, you got to do works, you got to do works. It's a misunderstanding on interpreting what James is saying. Works are what we do to impress God. Fruit is God's work within the believer, and it's produced in order that God might please himself through those who have faith in him. Fruit is works, but it's God doing the work. And so we understand, you know, we talked about that, God working in and through the believer to please himself. It is the structure that is seen outwardly. I said, many will hear. They have the knowledge, but have not built upon a solid foundation. The sand that it's speaking of is, you could say, religion, relativism, environmentalism, secular humanism. Many who follow the belief systems have heard Jesus' words. Listen, you know, even in Islam and Buddhism, they've all heard, many of them have heard Jesus' words. They've heard the truth, yet they have built their beliefs on falsehoods, on a false system of beliefs. It's an interesting thing when we think about what Jesus is saying. Not only being hearers, but doers of his word. In Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, Jesus warns the children of Israel, but if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. There is a sin of not doing anything. James goes on in chapter 4, verse 17 of his letter, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. What is Jesus making the distinction between? He's not making a distinction between the builders in their building of the home or the homes that were built. He's not making a distinction that they built in different areas, completely different areas. They're both, they're both exposed to the same storms, the same trials and tribulations that would come. What he's making a distinction between are those who truly have faith and those who only have an understanding. And there is a very wide difference. Hearing opens one up to knowledge of what is being spoken. But being a doer, Jesus likens to a wise man. It is talking about wisdom. And you know what wisdom is? It's knowledge applied. A wise man builds on a solid foundation what he has heard. He does the things that he has heard, and that's wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13, Paul wrote this, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is." And what Paul says is literally, Jesus himself is the foundation of faith. That is what Jesus means when he says, the wise man built his home upon the rock. In the Old Testament, we have types. In the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And in it, Jesus reveals a lot of what the meaning of the Old Testament was, what it was speaking of, what the types were looking forward to. Jesus quoted the Old Testament scriptures a lot. So did Paul. In fact, all of the writers of the New Testament only had the Old Testament scriptures to rely on. And so it is an illumination of those things that were being taught through the children of Israel. But in the Old Testament, we have a type of the rock that was with the children of Israel in the wilderness. It was their source of water. And Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 4, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." When Jesus questioned Peter about who people and the disciples, you know, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Sorry, it's King James Jr. Sometime is hard to. I got that from Pastor Kirk in Waterford. He said I could use it. But so they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." One of the only times Peter opened his mouth and something wise, and you know, something wise came out. But he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now, we know that some parts of the church have misinterpreted this and claim that Peter is the rock that Jesus was going to build his church on. The word used for Peter means pebble. But when Jesus refers to the rock that he was going to build his church on, it meant boulder. What he was referring to was two verses. We do it by verse, but he was referring back to the statement that Peter made, which is the foundation of the church and the foundation of faith. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is the boulder that the church is built upon and the faith, that our faith is built upon. That's what he was talking about. In Ephesians, Paul says, "One faith." On another instance, Jesus teaches in Mark chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, it happened as he sowed, and we're talking about the gospel, or the word of God, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it didn't have much earth. Immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up and it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. The idea of hearing, sowing the seeds, we talked about we're sowers, but all we have to really sow is the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some sow, some water. But there's one that reaps. But we need to understand there are a lot of people that hear the truth, yet it never takes root. And some seed fell among thorns, and thorns grew and choked it and yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. There are some that believe that faith is merely a profession or having knowledge of what Jesus has said or what the Bible says. But faith is more than hearing. It's more than having the knowledge of truth. Faith as an activity of those who are truly born again. And I always encourage you, read James, but read James from a perspective of a brother of Jesus Christ. Because in the book of James is not only all of his admissions of the mistakes that he made concerning his brother, but it is also really a picture of what faith looks like. It's faith in action. And in James, you'll find out that faith is an action. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, James says this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." And we talked, tests are going to come. We will all face trials and tribulations. "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be mature, perfect, and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. He's one who has built his house on sand. But those who are seeking wisdom, not only hearers, but how to do those things that the Word of God lays out for us and what Jesus had taught, he says, if you ask for wisdom and you ask in faith, if you're truly seeking to dig and, for that rock, that firm foundation for your life, it'll be given to you. In the face of trials and tests and the storms of life, realize, listen, life itself is a storm. And it's raging right now, isn't it? Listen, in that, James is saying faith is being perfected. Faith that is firmly built upon the rock who is Jesus Christ. In James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, he goes on, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Kind of encapsulates the Sermon on the Mount to a great extent. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, it talks about meekness. It talks about mourning over one's sin. Having a heart for God, desiring, having a hunger and thirst for righteousness and all those things. We lay aside all of the sins, the wickedness and all those other things, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Don't be deceived. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And the question for all of us this morning, as Jesus, you know, concludes this Sermon on the Mount, is, are you like the wise man who has built your faith upon the rock, who is Jesus Christ? Or are you digging deep? Is your faith just a surface set of beliefs? Fake it till you make it kind of faith. And it really is going to be the difference when you stand before the Lord. When I stand before the Lord, we will either hear, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Or, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. True faith, the one faith, is built only upon Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And the genuineness of that faith will be found in how you endure the storms of life and the trials that will come. Because true faith is going to withstand until the end, until you stand before the Lord. You know, the beautiful thing about the Scriptures is not only do we, you know, understand that these storms are coming, we're told to rejoice in our trials and all these other things, but it also says, now to him who is able to make you stand and present you faultless. That's the promise of a man and woman who has put their faith in Jesus Christ. You know, David understood this. David was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect, but he loved the law of the Lord, and he loved the Lord. You know, there was a song, I mean, when things, you know, get rough, and I used to sing it all the time here as I was walking around through the hallways when things got rough here. But David wrote, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. I can't go that low this morning. Sorry. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would lead each of us to the rock this morning that's higher than us, Lord. We're in the thick of the trials, Lord. The world is raging. The nations are raging. The world is crying out. Wolves are trying to draw people to culture and cultural awareness. When you, Lord, told us that we're to put our faith in you and you alone. And I just pray that you would help us to stand upon those truths. To love you supremely and love everybody else to the best of our ability, Lord. And help us in that. And Lord, we know the time is short. So I pray, Lord, that we would bear much fruit and we would bear good fruit that would make, Lord, a positive impact on eternity. We just thank you, Lord, for your word and what you have done for us here, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us by the outpouring of your Holy Spirit right now, that you would settle minds. Lord, that you would visit us in our self-examination, to be honest with ourselves and with you. Lord, our heart's desire is to stand before you, clothed in your righteousness, and hear, well done.